It's our pleasure to have Mr. David Neff here today. He's with representing the ministry of TWR, which we learned in Sunday school really should be renamed TWM, Trans World Media. They are more than just radio nowadays. So if you would, please come on up, and we are eagerly waiting to hear what the Lord has to say.
Well, good morning, and God bless you, and thank you for being here. I mentioned this morning earlier, and I misspoke too. It is TWR. It's still TWR. It was Trans World Radio, and they just shortened it TWR just because it's multimedia. And I'm sorry I conveyed that. I apologize. But anyway, I do want to mention just a couple of things. I mentioned earlier that I've got some things on a table back here in the back, and you're welcome to take anything that's on the table except for the thing that goes up and down, all right? I'd have to pay for that and borrow on it. But anyway, we have a magazine that comes out quarterly, and the magazine is there. And then A Closer Look at TWR, that's a just the who, what, when, where, and why of TWR. And then there's a larger pamphlet like this, and it's different projects that people, churches, organizations like to say, well, I'd like to support a project or give a one-time gift, and that's back there as well. And some other things there, you can look around, and like I said, you're welcome to take whatever's there. I am a church representative for TWR. I've been doing this about a year and a half. I have a family. My wife, she's at home. She's in Christian education, been in Christian education for 42 years, been in ministry 43 years, she and I. And when we first got married in Burlington, North Carolina. That's our home. And we ended up back there. And the last 25 years, I'd been pastoring a church in that area. But when we got married, we had some friends in Warner Robins, went too far from here, and we moved to Warner Robins, and I was teaching in a Christian school, and she was working, and we stayed there a year, and then we moved to Jacksonville, Florida, and I was teaching a Christian school there. And then we moved to New Jersey, Paterson, New Jersey, of all places, and then stayed there 4 years, moved to Fairfax, Northern Virginia, 8 years, and then finally to North Carolina. We've been there the past 27 years. But anyway, when we stepped away, Lord led us to TWR, and we're very, very grateful to be a part of this ministry. You know, part of this ministry, well, all of this ministry focuses on evangelism, discipleship, and training believers to be steadfast, strong in the faith. I think about how that when you read the scriptures, especially over in Hebrews chapter 11, about that hall of fame of faith. Individuals and talks about and by faith and by faith and by faith and names individual after individual about how that they were faithful to the Lord. And then we come to the book of, or go to the book of Acts rather, and you'll see how that the church was started and how that at the very beginning, Pentecost and how 5,000 people came to faith then. And then chapter 3, you see Peter and John going to the house of prayer and how that they encountered a lame man there and how that God used them in touching his life. And then chapter 4, Peter and John were arrested and forbidden to speak the name of Jesus. Chapter 5, they were imprisoned and accused of filling Jerusalem with the teaching or the doctrine of this person, Jesus. They were beaten and released. In chapter 7, you have the story of Stephen and how that he was stoned to death. And then James in chapter 12 was killed. Peter prisoned. And in mix of all that, you have Paul, who was converted to Christ and became a missionary, if not the greatest missionary that we know of. And he began to travel, and he had three different missionary journeys. The first one starting in Antioch of Syria and then moving right along. You come to the end of the book of Acts and you go right into the book of Romans. But the thing is, I believe this, that we are continuing the story of the book of Acts, the continuation of the church. It could continue to be written as to what's happened and what's happening with the gospel and what's happening with the church. But these individuals that make up our scriptures, who we have a little bit of insight into their life, there was something unusual about all of them. And the story continues. The story continues. There are a lot of missionaries that are on the field preaching and teaching, starting churches, and there's a lot of pastors who are coming out of seminaries or traveling around, taking works and trying to continue the work that was started in the book of Acts. There was something, as I said, something special about these individuals, these missionaries, church planters, and pastors, evangelists, something special. I'm wondering if it's something that they see that other people don't see. I think part of leadership is leaders see things that can be. Maybe they're not that way now, but look what could be, what could be. I'm wondering if they did not take that passage of scripture that was read earlier out of Matthew 28 and look at it in a couple of different ways. Especially where he starts out by saying in Matthew 28 and verse 18, where Jesus said, "All authority is given to me." I'm wondering if those missionaries and those individuals of the Bible and pastors throughout this country, if not this world, aren't convinced that God has all authority. He has all authority. After all, he says, "All authority is given to me." And that's Jesus speaking. This may be something that Daniel saw over in chapter 7, where he had a vision and he says, "One like the Son of Man." And it says this, "And these were given to him dominion. All people, nations should serve him. An everlasting dominion." Did he see something that no one else saw? Maybe he did. When you look at the scriptures, when you look at this world, what do you see? I'm wondering if maybe we ought not get or put on a new set of glasses so we can see what God wants us to see. I look at this world and I wrote down a couple of things that people may be missing in this world, such as Japan, a place of 126 million people, and only 6% of that population know Christ as their Savior. Looking at India, 80% of that country lives in poverty and living on $2 a day. Looking at Turkey and knowing the earthquake that they have experienced at the beginning of the year and how disease is causing havoc in that country, as well as the unspoken gospel. Ukraine, because of a senseless world, the death toll, what is that now, and what's going on there? Do you see this world and think of Indonesia, how that 1/4 of the population will die of starvation? Or Cuba, and how that they live on $25 a month and how that they are taking daily rations. I was in Cuba a couple of years ago and I was staying with a family, and every day they would go to a distribution center and they would tell them, or they'd check off their name and how many people were in their family. And if there were 4 people in that family, they'd give them 4 pieces of bread. They would give them a 1/4 pound of rice and another bag of vegetables or whatever it may be, just enough for the day. And that's how they had to live their life. And they would check it off. That's how you came by, and that's what you, if you missed the day, you can't go and get, "Oh, well, I missed yesterday." No, you only got today, just today. You see, there are people struggling and suffering throughout the world with food and different things like that. But there are also people throughout this world who are struggling and suffering without the gospel. And missions, when we think about missions, it is sharing the gospel around the world with unreached people groups, not only around the world, but in our area and in this country as well. And I have to go back to this statement. You know, God has all authority. Christ has all authority. The gospel tells us over in Matthew 7 that Jesus taught as one having authority. In Matthew chapter 8, he exercised his authority in healing those who were sick and diseased. In Matthew chapter 9, he exercises authority in being able to forgive sinners. Aren't you grateful that he's willing and able to forgive sinners? Paul said, I am the chiefest of sinners. And I'm wondering sometimes, well, maybe I'm the chiefest of sinners. I don't know. But the bottom line is we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And without the gospel, all of us would enter into eternity in a Christless eternity. But Christ exercised his authority in being able to forgive sin. In Matthew chapter 9, he forgave a lame man his sin, but he also healed him as well. In Matthew chapter 8, he exercises authority over Satan and demons by casting demons out of a demon-possessed man. He exercised his authority in a number of ways in the miracles that he performed throughout the gospel. But another way that he exercises authority is to be able to delegate his authority to others, specifically his disciples. In Matthew chapter 10, in verse 1, he says, he called his disciples to him and he gave them power. He gave them authority to go out and teach and preach, to go out and to heal and do miracles. He gave that authority. See, he says, all authority is given to me, and I have the right and the capability to distribute that authority to whomever I would or whoever I will. Matter of fact, doesn't he also say that, though, in Acts chapter 1, and he says, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be, what? Witnesses. He has that authority. And so when these disciples and when throughout the book of Acts and even today, we go out, we have the authority to be a witness, to speak up because Christ in us. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who does what? Strengthen me. What's he doing? He's given me the authority to speak up, to preach and teach. It's through Christ and Christ alone. He has that authority. The early church operated on the basis of Christ's authority, and they depended upon his power and his guidance to fulfill their God-given purpose. And the church today is no different than that. From the book of Acts. We are operating on the authority that Christ has all authority and that he has delegated authority to you and I. Your attitude toward, and my attitude toward Christ will determine our awareness of this world. Mentioned earlier when we were coming to the table, the Lord's table, love God, love people. If we have the right focus and understand the love that Christ has for us, then we can understand and we can comprehend what does that mean with my love toward people around me. We are to love one another, love Christ. And the deeper our love for Christ, the deeper our love for people. And the desire to see them live and receive Christ as their Savior and live a victorious Christian life. You see, he is the Creator. He's the sustainer. He's our Savior. In theology terms, I guess we could say that he is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He has all authority, and he can delegate that authority to whomever he will. So when he says this in Matthew 28, all authority is given to me, then I'm wondering if those disciples, when they went out after Christ left them there in Acts chapter 1, and how that he departed, and they say, listen, we've got work to do, and we've been given the authority, we've been given the power by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and by the Word of God, we can do this. And they had a vision to do that. I'm wondering too, though, in looking at our passage of Scripture here, that if these disciples and pastors and missionaries today, followers of Christ, whoever you are, wherever you are, if you call on the name of Christ as your Savior, if we're not convinced, or we should be convinced to, and be committed to the command that He had given us. He says, go therefore, making disciples. Go, go. Those individuals in the book of Acts, and even our churches now, and missionaries, they've got to be convinced about something. Convinced not only that they have the authority to do what they do, but they're convinced that it's a commandment for them to do this. They just desire to please God with their life. And God has a calling on their life to preach, to teach, to start churches, to live a righteous life in our communities, making disciples throughout the world, in all nations. This is an action point for us. In this command given in Matthew was given throughout the Gospels. In Mark chapter 16, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. I mentioned over in Japan, less than 6% of that nation has been evangelized. And we could say that not only in Japan, but throughout the world. Over in Cuba, there's a story of a man named Lewis. In Cuba, you can't have, if your church was started before the revolution, you could continue growing that church. But if you were not established before the revolution, you could not have a church. But they have house churches. And those house churches, I was in a house church in Cuba, and the pastor lived in the house, and he would have what they call Bible studies. And he started out with about 7 people in his house, and as time went on, it grew and grew to where he says, we can't meet in the house, let's meet on the carport. So they're still under the roof of the house, but it's the carport. And so they've added onto that carport 3 times now. And the day I spoke there, we had 126 people under the carport. It was 100 degrees, and they said, preach as long as you want until you finish. And I'm thinking, when I finished, they were still sitting there. I'm sweating. I mean, I'm soaked. And they're sitting there thinking, is that all you got? And I'm thinking, yeah, that's all I got, you know. But they were just hungry for the Word of God, just hungry. I'm thinking that pastor of that church or that house church, he had a vision. And he took the command seriously that God wanted him to share the gospel with his community. And no one was driving in. They were all walking. Some of them a half a mile, some of them a mile. They were just walking in and gathering there underneath that carport. Stories like that can be told over and over. There's another fellow in Cuba. His name is Lewis. Lewis began listening to the gospel on the radio. And he heard the gospel preached daily. He received Jesus as his Savior. And he felt like, you know what? I want to start one of those house Bible studies. And so he started a Bible study in his house. He and his brother. And they grew to 10, 15, 20, and 30. The odd thing, or the unusual thing, it wasn't unusual at all. Lewis is blind. He never went to school. And everything he knew was from what he had been listening to on that Christian broadcasting station. So he and his brother pastor that house church. I'm wondering, did they not take it seriously? What? The command. No matter what their ability or inability was, they took it serious. God called me. And I believe that this command to go and make disciples of all nations, I take it seriously. I take it seriously. In the Middle East, there was a young man and he wrote this. I'm going to quote it. It says, I came to know Jesus a few months ago. I found your program, TWR, and website. And now I always rely on it to help me through. My family found out that I came to faith I put my faith in Jesus. And now I'm facing a lot of hardships. But since I decided to follow Jesus, I will not turn back. I know I am saved. I know my sins are forgiven. Thank you for helping me in my faith. And I desire to share it with others. Why are you so determined to share it with others? Because he took this serious, he's taking this seriously. Something's happened inside of him that he says, I just have to share it with others. One of the prophets said, I want to shut up, but it's like fire in my bones. I have to say something. And so here, when we look at going through the world, those individuals who are sharing the gospel with others, whether it's a pastor or a missionary or a church member or a neighbor, whoever it is or whatever situation it is, I believe that we individuals who are doing this take it seriously. And also take it that God has given us the authority to do so. Acts chapter 1 again, he says, and you shall be witnesses. How long? To the end of the world. Till he comes again. Jesus has given us our marching orders, and we are to go. We're to send. We're to pray. Whatever it takes. I mentioned earlier, TWR sends radios, when the war broke out. We've sent 5,000 radios to Ukraine by way of Poland. We took them in and gave them out to the schools. We went into the schools and handed them to the children to take back to their parents. And so the thing is, I think face-to-face is the best way, but sometimes we have to use other methods. We say, well, we can't get into China. Do we just mark China off the map? Say, well, forget China. We'll just pray for somewhere else. No, we say, well, what are the methods? How can we do this? And we keep looking for methods to share the gospel with the people around the world just because we take this seriously. What? The commandment to go into all the world. To take the gospel to all nations. We must be convinced of his authority. And we must be committed to the command that he has given us. Go make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. The gospel, I'm sorry, I put too many loose papers up here on my table this morning. We must be convinced, and let that be our motivation. You know, many a times, I know growing up, my mother motivated me. Did she, you, or your father? And sometimes it was just a word. Sometimes it was my mom, she would say, okay, go get me a switch. I had to go get my own switch of all things. And if the switch wasn't big, she goes, no, not that one. Go get a different one, you know. I didn't know they made a switch tree or a bush, but they did. And I hope they've all disappeared by now. I don't know. But anyway, I knew which bush she was talking about. It was just motivation. I know it's correction, but sometimes it's motivation. And sometimes it was just a look. You know, mama's look, you know, hey. And then you say, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. You know, just a look. You know, I don't know what it is. Sometimes motivation is the end result. What's going to be the end result? Is it a prize? Is it a meal? Whatever. What is it, money? I don't know. But I think maybe, I don't know if God was saying this to motivate us, to let us know that these things were happening or this was okay. But he ends up that passage of scripture by saying, and I am with you always. Our motivation is knowing that Christ is with us, that God is with us. He is with us. God has never asked us to do anything, go anywhere, attempt anything without going with us. I will be with you. I will go with you. You know, when I was a little boy growing up in Tennessee, I'm from Tennessee, Knoxville, Tennessee, and we had a, there were five boys and two sisters in my home, and my mother pretty much raised us. But when we, I remember in one of the houses, a couple of the houses we lived in, we had a coal stove, and that coal stove, well, it required coal, and we had coal out in the backyard, and every day a different one of us would be responsible to getting the coal. And sometimes if you wait late enough, you know, it's dark and, you know, you see the bucket back there behind the stove, you see it's empty, you gotta go out there and get it when it's your turn. And I remember, sometimes it would be my turn and I was afraid of the dark just because I was a little boy, I guess. But anyway, I was afraid of the dark and I'd ask my brother, hey, Mike, you go out there with me to get the coal? No. I said, hey, listen, if you go with me tonight, I'll get your coal tomorrow. He goes, okay, let's go, you know. And, but anyway, I just didn't like being by myself outside in the dark. I didn't like it. And so, I wanted him with me or somebody with me. There are different times throughout our life, you know, it seemed like not as bad when you had somebody with you, It may be a time and place in your life, something going on in your family, something going on in your life. Just knowing someone was with you, it gave you all the courage, encouragement, and motivation you needed just because you knew that, someone was standing with you and by you. God gives us this passage of scripture. He says, listen, I've given all authority. You have all the power. You have everything you need to be a witness. Now here's my command, go and be witnesses in all the world, starting in your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. But here's one more thing to help motivate you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. God repeats this throughout scriptures and is a constant reminder that he loves us, that he enables us, he equips us so that we can fulfill our purpose as followers of Christ. Joshua 1 and verse 9, he says to Joshua, he says, have I not commanded you? And we can say the same thing here in Matthew 28. Have I not commanded you to be witnesses, to share the gospel, to disciple individuals? He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Over in Matthew chapter 1, talking about the birth of Christ, it says, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, what does that mean? God with us. God with us. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5, well, that whole chapter or several verses there, he says, rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your supplication be made known to God. Or he says, fear not. And then he says, know this, that the Lord is near. Near to his coming, yes. But it's all near physically. He's here. He's with us. He's with us. Over in Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 5, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In Isaiah 41 in verse 10, he says, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Here we're reminded, he's not only with us, he's empowering us. He's given us that authority to be a witness. You think back about the beginning of Acts or throughout the book of Acts. You see these individuals who had followed Christ, who were called his disciples, and how that they got in trouble sometimes by word and sometimes by deeds. Sometimes they would say, you know what, I'm tired of this. I'm going fishing. I don't know if this is worth it. But then when God empowered them on the day of Pentecost, you listen to their sermons out of the book of Acts and you see what they're accomplishing for the cause of Christ. You're thinking, what happened? Where did this come from? Well, it came from God. It came from God who enabled them, who empowered them. And then he says this, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, he dwells in you. Knowing he is with us, knowing he is in us, it should give us confidence. It should give us boldness. It should give us a sense of peace and assurance. Doesn't that hymn say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Yes, blessed assurance. What? Jesus is mine. He is mine. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Yes, he's in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. As we look at the scripture and read the scripture, think back these points, these individuals who follow after Christ, these individuals who say, you know, I'm going to be a missionary. These individuals who say, I'll be a missionary, I'm going to leave all the comforts of home. I'm not even sure why I'm going, just that I know I have a desire in my heart to do this. Those individuals who are even pastors or Sunday school teachers or serving Christ where you live. We must be convinced that Christ has all authority and he's delegated that authority to us. That he's given us a command and we must be committed to that command. And that we're motivated and we're encouraged that he will go with us. He will go with us. You know, someone told you about Christ. Someone told you. Someone shared Christ with you. You know who it was? When I was 7 years old, my grandmother, I used to stay with, I had two grandmothers, of course, and I'd stay with both of them every once in a while. I'd go spend a day here or a weekend over here, back and forth. Both of them were believers and followers of Christ. Both of them were good church people. And my one grandmother, she had a lot of health issues, so she didn't go to church quite often. But every time I'd go there, she would say, David, come here. And I'd come here, she'd go sit down over here. You know, I was playing outside, and I would sit down right here, and she'd open the Bible, and she'd start reading the Bible. And she would start telling me stories, reading stories of the Bible. And she would start, and then she'd put her hand on me and pray. And every time I visited her, we always had Bible time. I just knew it, we're going to have Bible time. And now you can go play. My other grandmother was the same way. She didn't read the Bible to me, but we lived across the street from the church where they attended. Matter of fact, they were the custodians of the church. And so I'd go over there and they said, well, we're going over to the church today. I'd go into church and I'd run around the church like a maniac while they were busy cleaning. And sometimes they say, you need to go outside because we're cleaning and you're tearing up. Get out of here, you know. But no matter where, which way I went, they were giving me Bible, giving me, talking to me about Jesus, praying over me. I wasn't in church a lot, but when I was, it was because of those two individuals. One day, where we were living, my sister came home on a Sunday morning. She'd gone to church with our neighbors. And she came home and she got out of a van. It was a 64 Ford van. Got out of the van and she had an ice cream in her hand. I said, where'd you get that ice cream? She goes, I got it at this gentleman. He's got two kids and on the way home, he stopped and got us an ice cream. And he said, if I come back next week, he's going to stop and get an ice cream again. I said, I'm going to church with you next Sunday. She goes, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. I'm going. And so that next Sunday morning, I was out there before sunlight. I was waiting on him by the car, and I said, he's not leaving me, you know. And he took me to church, and I really didn't care what was going on in church, really, because, you know, I only had one thing on my mind. And so, sure enough, on the way home, he stopped, got that ice cream, and he grabbed the hold of me. He goes, David, I'll get you an ice cream every Sunday you come to church. I said, I'll be back next week. I started going to church every Sunday. I did not miss. And like I said, I really wasn't paying much attention to what was going on. But every Sunday, my Sunday school class, the teacher grabbed me and said, David, God loves you and I love you too. And give me a hug. And I'm thinking, what's this all about? And I'd come to church and people would talk to me like they knew me. They loved on me. They were singing songs. I didn't know how to read a hymn. No, I was going line by line by line. And you had this line, now you skip down to this one, now you skip down to this one. I'm thinking, what in the world? Who wrote this thing? And then, but as time went on, I learned. As time went on, I started listening. As time went on, it wasn't so much about the ice cream, it was about, who is this they're talking? I want to know more about this person, Jesus. We were singing the songs about him. I was listening to the stories. And it's all because there was an individual who said, I want to start a church right here. And that church began. God blessed that church. And they were interested in reaching their community. And I was part of that community. They started loving on me. And one Sunday after church, I went up to the pastor and said, preacher, I want to do what you were talking about. I want Jesus in my heart. And he took me and showed me scriptures and prayed with me. You see, I feel a responsibility. Someone told me, and I need to be telling someone. If we all just stop telling someone about Christ, what would happen? What would happen? You see, we need to take the Great Commissions to heart. Take it seriously. Take it to our home, our state, our nation, and our world. We can go in our community. We can send into the world. Let's make it personal. Let's make it personal. You may have heard this story some time ago given by a fellow. He was a missionary, and William Carey. He had a friend, Andrew Fuller, and he was burdened to reach China. And he told his friend, he says, listen, I'll go down into the well if you'll hold the rope. I'm sorry, India. And his friend said, I'll hold the rope. I'll hold the rope. You know, you and I may not be able to go to China. You and I may not be able to go to India. You and I may not be able to go to a lot of places around the world. But we're here to hold the rope. And holding the rope means we're going to do everything we can to make you successful. Financially, prayers. How can we help? How can we help? So we're to be a church, and, you know, William Carey said, attempt great things for God, expect great things for God. I think missions and outreach is a risk to all of us. But I'm grateful that someone was willing to take a risk on me. And I'm grateful that Paul, Peter, James, John, Timothy, those individuals of the book of Acts were willing to take risk and step outside their comfort zone and share Christ with whoever would listen. Not giving assurance that they would listen, but they had the assurance of Christ or God being with them. We hold this to be true, and even in the most familiar passage of Scripture that we have in the book of Psalms, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We already read, he helps me lay down. He gives me rest. He restores my soul. And then he says, even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. So church, I just say, let's keep taking risk. Let's keep supporting and holding the rope for the missionary. Let's still pray for one another and let's step out. Let's step out to share Christ with our friends, our family, those we go to school with, whoever it is that God brings our way for that divine appointment. We don't know. We don't know. Now, would you bow your heads with me as I pray? Father, we love you. And we thank you, Lord, for your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. I pray, Lord, for Grace Bible Church. I thank you, Lord, for the lighthouse that it is here in Valdosta. I thank you, Lord, that they're willing to hold the rope for so many missionaries and mission agencies. God, I pray that you would bless them and help them, Lord, continue to have a vision of what it means to reach this world for Christ. I pray, God, you would watch over them, and I pray, Father, that the greatest days of this ministry are just ahead of it. Lord, be with them and help them, and Lord, give them discernment. And Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you and thank you for your invitation to be here today.